I didn't realize that I was in a series until I started studying for this week, and then I found out that we're talking about how to live in the supernatural, how to live in miracle-working, overcoming, mountain-moving faith. Amen. Thank you, Kathy. Somebody ought to get excited about it. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, Zechariah is speaking on behalf of the Lord. He says, "Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord." We don't do what we do because we happen to be skilled enough, because we happen to be strong enough, because we happen to be smart enough, because we happen to be rich enough. We do what we do because He is. Come on, shout. Amen. He is God. Amen. What is it that we face that is beyond His ability? Nothing. Not one thing. Well, but maybe, you know, it's going to be a little tough. Well, He didn't say everything was going to be wine and roses. As a matter of fact, those who were going into the promised land, wonderful place. Just makes you wonder what He was talking about when He said a land flowing with milk and honey. Lots of rocks and dust. But there are places that there's been a glimpse of restoration, and they're green and they're lush and they're wonderful. Did you know that the best produce in the world comes from Israel? I mean, oranges like you have never tasted. Lemons that'll make you pucker all the way to the top of your head. Some really, really amazing stuff. How could that be in a desert? Because the promise of God works. And He said it would be a land flowing with milk and honey. He said that it would be a land of prosperity as they followed Him. So there are little pockets of lush green prosperity, just like there are little pockets of wonderful, amazing, spirit-filled believers, but only little pockets. But the time's coming when all of Israel will worship the Lord our God. All of Israel will. And in the same way, the Bible says the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. Come on, Lord. Bring it on. But this is not going to happen because we got our marketing strategy right. It's not going to happen because somewhere we figured out how to rationally, logically talk people into it. That's not how this works. This works by the Spirit of God. Jesus said, "No man comes to the Father except the Spirit draws him." We want to be walking in the Spirit. Turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 11. Brother Hagin would be proud. Mark chapter 11, beginning in verse 22. Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them." How many of you here this morning would like to have mountain-moving faith? Mountain-moving faith doesn't come because we want it. It comes because our God is in the mountain-moving business. It comes because there's a mountain between us and destiny, and God tells you to speak to it. Come on. How many of you here think you're up to that? You are, because you're created in the image and likeness of God. God and Jesus and the Holy Ghost were sitting in a conference meeting one day and said, "You know what we need? We need somebody to fellowship with." But there wasn't anyone. Well, when you're God and you need somebody to fellowship with and there isn't any, what are you going to do? You're going to create it. And God and Jesus spoke and they engineered the whole universe as we live in it before it ever existed. And they looked ahead and they said, okay, we're going to have a need to compensate for their failings. And before anything else ever happened, Jesus' hand went in the air and said, I'll take care of it. The Bible tells us he is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before the world existed, Jesus had already committed to be our Savior.
Amen.
When Adam fell, the solution was already present. The solution was present with him in the garden, walking with him, talking with him, fellowshipping with him. We know that Enoch saw it. He prophesied about it. He got so close that he walked with God and one day ended up at God's house. Come on. Everybody, just poke the person next to you and tell them, it's perfectly natural to be supernatural. You were designed to be supernatural. You were designed to be a walking, talking miracle factory. There's absolutely nothing that is going to be in your way that you can't deal with supernaturally. Well, you know, I got this little ache over here. I got this little pain over here. And yes, so quit whining and start preaching. Well, Pastor Pat, I've been dealing with this a long time. Well, okay. Keep dealing until you got it done. Come on. Shout an amen, because, I mean, you might as well say amen, because if you can't say amen, you're going to have to say ouch. Things are going to come at us. The Bible doesn't ever say we will not have trials. As a matter of fact, it says we will. And in the midst of our trials, we are already victorious. We have to learn how victorious we really are so that we can walk in it. We've got to learn who we are. Let me ask you something. If you were the son or daughter of Bill Gates, do you think you'd want for anything? Bill Gates, who's Bill Gates? Come on, I know that we're all at least that schooled. You know who he is, right, Claire? Got a little bit of money. Little bit of money. Well, if he doesn't want it, I'll be glad to take it off his hands.
Well,
okay. If you were one of his kids, though, don't you think he'd take care of you? Sure. And he's an unbeliever. He's an unbeliever. He's a heathen. And he'd take care of his kids. Yeah. Well, if a heathen will take care of his kids, don't you think God will take care of his? Well, but I need a miracle. I guess we got the right family then. So our God is the God of miracles. He's the God of miracles. Come on.
Amen.
Well, but I got questions. He is the answer. Well, you know, in sales, they tell us all about how we have to be able to counter the resistance, how we have to be able to answer the questions. I quit. If you're going to spend all my time explaining all the reasons why you can't do what you want to do, I can't help you. That sounds awful, doesn't it? But the fact of the matter is, if you want to wallow in your self-pity, God will let you. But if you want to be victorious, he's going to work with you. He's going to work to bring you out. He's going to work to give you victory on every side. Jesus said, have faith in God. Have faith in God. See, the ability to see the impossible manifest is not about our ability, it's about his ability. It's not about how well we know Scripture. It's about how well we know the author. It's not about our prowess in spiritual warfare. Because the fact of the matter is, your prowess in spiritual warfare has nothing to do with your talent, ability, and strength. It has all to do with Him. He fights our battle for us. It's His strength and not ours. So how do we get this to work? Well, I'm glad you asked. We have a simple formula that works every time. Listen, pay attention, and act on what you hear. Jesus Himself said it. He said, I'm telling you the truth. The Son of Man can do nothing on His own. He only does what He sees His Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does also. Jesus said, I don't say anything of my own accord, of my own volition. I don't make it up myself. Whatever I hear the Father say, that's what I say. Amen. For a lot of people, the problem that they have is they're trying to do things based on their ability to dream, to speak, whatever the case might be, instead of pulling into the presence of God, listening to the heart of God, and then acting on what the heart of God directs. Jesus is walking down the road. In the middle of walking down the road, a funeral procession is coming along, and the Bible says Jesus moved with compassion. This was not part of His schedule for today, but Jesus was touched by the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost tapped Him on the shoulder and said, Jesus, deal with this. Right there in the middle of His day, the Holy Ghost interrupted that funeral. The only son of a widow had died. In our culture, we don't think too much about this because we don't have the same type of things going on that she would have. Because when her son died, that was her source of income, her source of perceived value as far as her community was concerned. Without her son, she was nothing. And literally, she became a beggar on the streets. She'd already lost her husband. And it doesn't matter how old she was, as far as the world of her day was concerned, she's used goods, she'll never marry again, nobody else is going to want her. And then came Jesus. Somebody ought to shout right there. And then came Jesus. And Jesus changes everything. And He just stops. The funeral procession stops. I don't know if He jumped out in front of them and said, hold up. But I know this. He refused to let it pass without getting involved. Walked over, put His hand on that boy, and called him back to life. Amen. And they had church right there in the middle of a funeral. And He gave him back to his mother, healed and whole. It doesn't matter what was wrong with him. It doesn't matter what he died of. It doesn't matter how long he'd been dead. Gave him back to his mother, healed and whole. Everybody look at the person next to you and say, that's impossible. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. Whatever the Father does, I do likewise. Many of us probably more readily relate to a story about a church on the mountainside. Oh, you probably don't think of it that way, but that's really what was going on. The crowd was gathered, and they were waiting with expectation for Jesus to show up. Jesus was preoccupied. He was up on the mountain being transfigured. They were having church on the mountaintop, and it was a limited, invitation-only crowd. And He took three with Him, and they went up there, and they got to see what was going on, and they messed it up. Everybody look at the person next to you and say, just like you. And Jesus is coming down off of the mountain, and He's coming down to a crowd. He's coming down to people with expectation. He's coming down to people who wonder, what's He going to do next? And He's coming down to a father who is beside himself. And he's coming down to that father who's beside himself for one reason. His son has a problem. A problem that has been unsurmountable. A problem that the disciples couldn't deal with. A problem that was spiritual in nature but physical in manifestation. Let's turn there. Mark chapter 9, beginning at verse 15. Immediately, when they saw him coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him, greeted him. And he asked the scribes, everybody say religious experts, what are you discussing with them? How many of you here came to Jesus from religion? You were involved in religion before Jesus changed your life. Let me see a hand. And then, in that religion, did they give you what you needed? Religion wants to substitute reality with ritual. It wants to take the real deal and just kind of set that aside and give you a substitute. How many of you here just would love to have an artificial flower arrangement? How many of you here like those fresh cut, wonderful smelling, brilliantly colored flowers? Amen. Yeah, me too. Something about a silk flower just doesn't smell the same, doesn't feel the same, doesn't even look the same. I've seen some good artistry with that kind of thing, but it's not the same. I want the real deal. And it's even better when it's growing in your yard. And you can look at them every day and can enjoy the smell every day. And I mean, just watch it just bloom and grow and thrive. Well, here's a guy that he's been to the religious experts. And Jesus says, and what do you got to offer him? One of the crowd said, teacher, I brought my son who has a mute spirit. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams at the mouth and gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. And I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. And he answered and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed and foaming at the mouth. So Jesus turned and asked his father, how long has this been going on? And his father said, from childhood. And often it's thrown him both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. But if you can do anything, if he knew who he was talking to, do you think he would have said that? See, he just didn't know. There are two statements in this particular story that just stand out to me. The first one is Jesus says, you faithless bunch. Later on, his disciples take him aside and say, why couldn't we deal with this? And one of the scriptures says, because of your little faith, but that's not the real translation. The real translation is because you were faithless. Because you didn't have any faith. You didn't take God at his word. You did not believe. Ouch. Because the reality is, one of the reasons things don't happen for us is very simple. We don't believe. We hope. We wish. A lady that was in a prayer meeting used to pray all the time, oh God, somehow, some way, if you can, would you do such and such? And I quit calling on her to pray. Because the fact of the matter is, if you don't know whether or not God can, then don't bother to ask him. The Bible says when we pray in accordance with his will, he hears us. And if he hears us, we have the request that we make of him. I'm not going to come in and pray for somebody to get healed if I don't believe they can be healed. Well, why would you believe that they could be healed, Pastor? Because I've seen my God heal miraculously over and over again. I believe because of who I know. We have any mechanics in the house besides Barry? Barry has got to be a mechanic. If I want something fixed, I want to take it to somebody who actually knows something about what they're talking about. Yeah? I'm talking to my flat top technician up here. If I want a flat top, I'm going to somebody who knows how to do a flat top. Right? And a good one, too. Why would I go to somebody who hasn't got a clue? Close your ears, babe. If I wanted that, I could stay home and get my hair cut. You're right. I came home one day and my poor boys both had their hair cut to an extent. And then we finished the job. And they were bald because that was the only salvage left. She tried. Never again. You go to somebody who can do the job, amen? Amen? So if you need something that's impossible, there's only one place you're going to go. You're going to go to the God who is the God of the impossible. Amen. They came and brought the boy to the disciples who did not have faith. Jesus said it, I didn't, and they didn't get it done. And then Jesus is standing there and he says, he dares to say, if you can do anything, if you can do anything. He doesn't know who he's talking to. Jesus was present at creation. He created all of this out of just his word. The centurion had a sick servant and said, just speak the word. My servant will be healed. And Jesus said, I've never seen greater faith, not in all of Israel. He knew who he was dealing with. He knew that if Jesus would just speak, then just like at creation, it would be done. Do we know who we're dealing with? Do we understand that the God of the universe has put within us the ability to speak to situations and they'll change? We were created in his image and likeness. We were created to think like God and to act like God. God saw the need and he spoke. Done. Nothing more was required. He spoke and it was so. Jesus says, if I can do anything, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Somebody ought to be shouting there. Because he's speaking just as much to you as he is to this father. If you can believe, what's impossible going on in your life? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. If you can believe, that loved one who is the pain in your backside can become that firebrand for the kingdom of God. Come on, shout somebody. That diagnosis that the doctor gave means absolutely nothing in light of the diagnosis that Jesus gave. No matter what your bank statement says, God is still the God who provides for all of your needs according to his riches and glory, not according to your bank account. Come on. Anybody here need wisdom? Says, if you need wisdom, ask of God who gives liberally. Gives liberally and doesn't go, you again. Amen? A lot of people don't have wisdom because they never ask. A lot of people don't have wisdom because when they ask, they don't believe. And so they're stuck in a mire. You know that what a mire is, right? I mean, you stick your foot down there in that mud and it sucks your boots right off. Yep, been there, done that. That red Georgia clay will suck your boots off every time. We need to stop being stupid. Just poke somebody next to you and just tell them, stop being stupid. Trust God. He said it, it's so. Amen? It doesn't mean you won't struggle with trying to reason it out, because there are some things you're just never going to reason out. Just never will. You're going to look at it and think, this is just not possible, but God said it. So I'm just going to take him at his word. I don't understand how he's going to do it. I don't even know why he wants to. But God said it. That settles it. Amen? But you don't understand. Stop right there. I don't understand, and I don't need to. I know this. My God cannot lie. Numbers 23:19 said, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Has he said it, and shall he not do it? Has he spoken it, and shall he not bring it to pass? If he said it, he'll do it. If he spoke it, he'll bring it to pass. And it doesn't require you to do anything unless he tells you to. So shut up and listen. And when he tells you, pay attention. Gave my son instructions. Well, I started to give my son instructions one day. I got the first step out. He jumped on it and he ran and he did it and he came back and he said, I'm done. And I said, you should have waited for the rest of the instructions. You're not done. What? You're not done. And I told him the rest of the instructions and he went, well, why didn't you tell me that in the first place? And I said, why did you run away after step one? There are a lot of times that things don't quite go as we expect, but the fact of the matter is we didn't get the rest of the instructions. Listen, pay attention, then act on what you hear. Get all of the steps before you go taking the first one. Amen? Jesus said, go into all the world. If that was all you heard, then you're trying to go into all the world and you're trying to go everywhere and do everything that you think you want to do. And that's not what he said. He said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, trust God, demonstrate the kingdom. You're out there on your own flailing around trying to figure out why God's not providing for your needs, and it's because you're not doing what he told you to do. You're trying to do your thing. And you just think you're trying to do his thing. Well, God gave me a brain. Yeah. Yeah, he did. And the first thing he said was, use it to chase him. Amen? So we use it to chase him. Not money. Not girls. Not guys. Not shoes. Amen? Come on. To chase him. Well, but I've been waiting a long time. Yeah, okay. When my kids were growing up, we'd take them on trips. We came from upstate New York down here. It was, what, 10-hour drive, babe? No, it was supposed to be 7 or 8 hours. It always turned into about 10. Invariably, somewhere along the line, that famous line came out. Are we there yet? Now, I know my kids are at least smart enough to figure that if I haven't stopped, we aren't there. Does it look like we're there yet? No. Over time, they learned to ask a different question. How long till we get there? I can deal with that. How long till we get there? Because are we there yet, when you can look around and see we're not, is a stupid question. Somebody said there are no stupid questions. They lied. I can remember my kids learning the trip so well that they'd go, there's a pizza place, Pudgy's Pizza. I mean, now that's an appropriately named pizza place. Pudgy's Pizza, and it was good pizza too. I thought pretty early on my son Ben tapped into the Holy Ghost like nobody else. He could tell you there where there was a pizza place where there weren't even any signs along the road. He'd say, Dad, we need to get off the next exit. There's a Pizza Hut there. How do you know that? I don't know. I just know. Get off the exit. Sure enough, there's a Pizza Hut. If only they could apply that to other things. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And then it says something here that is just powerful. It says, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. He cried out with tears, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. I believe you can do this. Help me get past the things that stand in my way. Some translations talk about the fact that things didn't happen because of their little faith. But Jesus in Matthew with the same story says, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you'll ask what you will and it'll be done for you. If you have faith as a mustard seed, a tiny, tiny seed, tiny, tiny little seed, you can do miraculous things. It doesn't take a lot of faith to get it done. It takes faith to get it done. Period. Believing for the impossible is not about having some level of attainment. It's just about taking God at his word. What is it that God wants you to do? Do you get up in the morning with expectation, thinking, today, God's got something for me to do. Today, he's going to speak, and I'm going to do it. Today, miracles happen on my job. You got people who are coming to you and paying you to visit with them. Think about it. We have opportunities all around us for miraculous things. No matter where we go, no matter what we do, the opportunities are there because there's people there. And God's all about people. God cares about what happens with people. Well, you know, I work in a controlled environment. Yeah, so what are the limitations on your environment? If you can do anything, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Amen? You make a habit of touching people in your profession, shaking hands, manipulation, massage, whatever the case might be. If you're going to touch somebody, you have the chance to impact them in ways nobody else is gonna, because you bring the power of God in contact with them. Maybe you just lay hands on stuff. Do you know stuff can carry an anointing? And the stuff you touch is going to come in contact with somebody else. And when it does, that anointing can transfer. And when that anointing transfers, woo, people get healed. Miracles happen. Larry talks about doing the laundry for the boys at the ranch. What an opportunity. Every piece of clothing that he folded, he got to touch. And if aprons and napkins and clothing would carry the anointing that Paul and Peter carried, then folding somebody's laundry surely would carry the anointing that you carry. Maybe you ought to volunteer to do the laundry at your house. I didn't even hear any amens there. Let's face it, too often we're disconnected and distracted, and it's not that God's not speaking to us or he doesn't want to use us, it's just that we let other things get in the way. We let our limitations dictate what we're going to do. We let our budget dictate what we're going to do. We just look at things and go, well, you know, I would if I could, but I can't, so I won't. And instead of diving in, I mean, there's not one of us here that can on their own walk on water. And yet we admire the fact that Peter did. But he didn't do it in his own strength. He didn't do it with his own ability. Jesus said, come. And Peter walked on the word. The water just happened to be under there. But he wouldn't have been able to do what he did if Jesus hadn't spoken. What's the word of God that's been spoken to you, that's been spoken over you? What's the word of God that God's speaking through you to someone else? That word carries everything necessary for the manifestation of the miracle. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from all their destructions. He sent his word in your mouth. He sent his word with the expectation that it would not return to him void. He sent his word expecting that just like in the beginning, he would speak and it would be so. Do we have the same expectation? Jesus was speaking at the Great Commission and he said, go into all the world, preach the good news to everyone. Anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. Anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. Here's what they'll do. They will cast out demons in my name. They'll speak in new languages. They'll be able to handle snakes with safety. And if they drink anything poisonous, it will not hurt them. They'll be able to place their hands on the sick and they will be healed. Those are declarations. Not they might, not they could. They will. They will cast out devils. They will heal the sick. They will raise the dead. Not maybe, they will. Just raise your hand and say, I will. Amen? I will. Will you? Evelyn? Absolutely. Absolutely. Let's ruin Jack Geisel's business. Come on. Let me ask you. Do you take God at his word? Do you? If you do, you're going to get up and go. Because he said, go into all the world. Right? Dollar General, Walmart, Giant Eagle. That's the world. Go. Get a table at Subway and spend the day. Go to Wendy's. Camp out. There'll be people coming and going all day long. You'll have plenty of people to talk to. And when they get to know you, as long as you keep spending money, they'll let you stay. I had some friends that used to go bar hopping before they were believers. After they got saved, they went bar hopping again. I said, and don't they throw you out? And they said, no, as long as you spend money, they'll let you stay. So it's when everybody else stops spending money, they throw you out. So when you come in and you start preaching the gospel, he said, do you know how many backslidden preachers there are in bars? What a sad commentary that is. He said, there are people in bars who have heard the gospel over and over again, but it's never been real to them. In bars, people looking for Jesus. I asked Marvin, I said, so what do you order when you go in there? He said, I order a rum and Coke, hold the rum. Because you got to drink something. If you don't drink something, they won't let you stay. But you can have a 7 and 7 hold the Seagram's. You can have a cranberry spritzer. Come on. You don't have to drink alcohol just because you're in a bar any more than you have to smoke while you're in the bar. And you can believe because it says here that they shall drink any deadly thing, but it also says eat anything, and I think it probably means breathe any deadly thing and it won't hurt you. So you can believe that that secondhand smoke won't kill you either. Because after all, the Holy Ghost is in the business of life, not death. Amen? Well, but, you know, what would people think if they saw me coming out of a bar? Well, first of all, they're going to think, you're coming out of a bar. And then they're going to think, I wonder what he was doing in there. And if you walk in integrity, the question is never going to be, what were you doing in there? The question is going to be, I wonder why it's coming out of a bar. Amen? Said, go into all the world. Do you go? Do you get up with the expectation he's going to send you somewhere? He said, preach.
Preach.
And we think,
preach.
Get on your soapbox and preach. But that's not what it means. It means to declare the truth. And you can do that quietly. Some of us are not very demonstrative. Not everybody can be Clara. You know, Peter's one of my favorite characters in the Bible, and it says of him all the time, and not knowing what to say, he said, that's me. I've stuck my foot in my mouth all the way to the knee from time to time. But God's still faithful. God's still faithful. If we'll say what he says, that's all we need to do. So preach. Just talk to people. I was there the other day, I was sitting in the office, minding my own business, and somebody decided to tell a joke. How many of you know that in the world, when they're going to tell jokes, they're not going to be good jokes? And he was waiting for me to laugh, and I didn't. He said, oh, I'm sorry, did that offend you? And I said, well, no more than trying to feed me fecal matter. And he went, what? And I said, I don't want to hear that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah, I forgot, you're a preacher. I said, not because I'm a preacher, because I got a brain. I want something that's more intelligent than that, and I know you're capable of it. He hasn't told one more joke like that when I was around. I was working at Zimmerman's Hardware in Everett, and Tom had just come back. Tom was in the Air Force, got out of the Air Force, and just come back, and he was a young buck and feeling his oats, and he was telling all kinds of stories, and he started into a story one day, and I said, what do you have to do that for? He said, what? And I said, what do you have to spew that garbage for? Why don't you talk like you're capable of talking and be a reasonable young man with honor? And he got mad and he cussed and he swore, stomped off, a little hissy fit, but never again did he use that kind of language or tell those kind of jokes when I was there. We got to be pretty good friends. And I said to him one day, I said, I appreciate that you showed me the respect that you did after that day. He said, I appreciate that you were honest with me. See, people aren't afraid of the truth. They're afraid of the change. But we're there to tell them the truth. It's up to them what they do with it. Amen? Go, preach, believe. You got to believe. And do. How many of you are willing to go and do what God said to do? Lay hands on the sick, and they'll recover. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. Amen? Signs, wonders, and miracles belong to me because I belong to Him. So I'm going to go walk it out. Amen? You with me? You going to do it? Say this together with me. My God is bigger than the impossible. My God can do things that I can't even imagine. But with Him, so can I. I'm going to go do it. Let's pray.